This is the Karen, Your Career Coach podcast, where we explore the world of work with all things jobs and careers.
And we're your hosts, Jemima Nash and Lachlan Watts. Hello, and welcome back to the Karen, Your Career Coach podcast. Today, we'll be speaking to Jennifer Luke, a research fellow at the University of Southern Queensland.
Jennifer's research focuses on employability, meaningful work, and the impact that has on well-being. We started by asking Jennifer about her role.
My current role is at the University of Southern Queensland, where I am a research fellow, and I focus on well-being and employability. So it's looking at people's ability to find work, but what are those motivations? What's the psychological aspects that you need to be looking at when you're looking for work? So, and it's really looking at that community and workforce development. Before that, I was working at still the University of Southern Queensland, but I was a careers practitioner. So I was a careers counsellor and a careers lecturer.
What motivated you to go into your area that you're working in now?
Very much for me, it was about advocacy, working with people of all ages, but particularly older workers, because before I returned to university and moved into that career space, I was working in the employment and training sector. So I was working at TAFE as a teacher, and that was in IT, in digital media. And I started out in computer skills training within the employment sector with employment agencies. And in both roles, it turned more into working with students or job seekers, building on their career development and their employability. And that made me realize, hey, I need to go back to uni and start studying in that area. So that was where my change happened.
How would you explain the benefits of postgraduate study, and why do you think people should consider engaging in postgraduate study themselves?
When I was talking to students that were potential students coming into the university where I was working at, the first thing you asked them was, what is your motivation? What is your reason for wanting to do postgraduate study? And it really was getting them to talk through what their influences were. And a lot of the time it was either because someone wanted to do postgraduate study to advance their careers. Also, a lot of people did a postgraduate in a completely different area to where they've worked previously or maybe even studied previously. And it's because they wanted to expand and have that career change. And that was probably the biggest motivation for a lot of people. And the thing there too is that you could have people who had left school, done a bachelor's degree and decided to go straight into a postgraduate. But the majority of students that I have come across and spoken to have been people who have either been working for 20 years or more in industry and then realized, I really want to expand into new areas.
Like you've touched on, there's a lot of reasons behind engaging in that postgraduate study and meaningful work. And where people work definitely has an impact on many aspects of their lives as a whole. So what impact do you think meaningful work has on people's well-being?
When it comes to meaningful work, it could be what we call survival and power, which is looking at more that financial side of things. But also meaningful work can mean social connectedness and being relatedness, and that a lot of that is to do with you're wanting to do a job where you feel as though it's providing you significance, that you feel that it's giving you the opportunity to build on your career and to engage with people and be seen as part of that community. And so that's a big thing. And loneliness is a huge issue around the world. And it's all ages, and loneliness can be a big driver for people to be looking for a particular area of work or to re-engage with work. And another one is having that autonomy. A lot of people, you can talk to people, and sometimes you'll find people that like a lot of structure, where they like to be in a job where it's like, I don't have to make any decisions, it's all structured, I'll just go with whatever the rules are in that role. But you have others that if they stepped into that type of job, it would drive them crazy because they feel that they want to have a lot more autonomy about it. But also a lot of people, and I'll use this for an example, people who have a caregiving responsibility. Again, parents, it could be grandparents, it could be where you just are looking after somebody, is that you might need that flexibility in a role, because meaningful work for you is having that flexibility. So that's where autonomy can kick in.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, meaning is different for everyone. So do you think that like the impact of meaningful work would have a different kind of effect on people depending on, say, where they are in their career journey or what age they are in that sort of sense?
Really what it comes down to is you can fall into the trap of putting people into categories, is that, you know, this age group, it's all about money. This age group, it's all about advancing your career. This age group, it's all about having that feeling of social connectedness. And you'll see that across government policies sometimes, where you have to look at this, that everyone, no matter what age, can fall into any of those categories when it comes to meaningful work. So it really is important from a career development perspective. That's why having that career development support is key, because I think we can all agree that when you walk into a environment that goes against everything that you feel comfortable about, it's a lot harder to be able to advance in that environment. So it's really needing to understand, not just from a career support helping someone else, but just personally understanding what it is that you see as being meaningful in a career.
And like you said, there is many benefits for meaningful work on individuals personally, but what impact do you think people engaging in meaningful work has on, say, a workplace environment?
Having training opportunities will be what some people will see as being that is what they are looking for in meaningful work, is that they want to have the ability to continue learning, to be able to advance in their role. So that actually fits into that financial aspect. But it could also be meaningful for a lot of people, is that they want to work within a environment where they can build relationships, professional relationships with others, with colleagues, and that they thrive in that community environment. Whereas you've probably come across people in both study and work yourselves, where there are some people that thrive in a community environment, while others are like, I'd much rather just have a desk over in the corner and just work on my own. And so that would probably be the main thing within a workforce.
How do you think people can continue to develop things like their industry skills and increase their employability over their working life?
It's understanding why you're doing what you're doing. So that's where that motivation, I'll use that word again, that motivation in there. But it's also about having what we call adaptability or a career adaptability. And really what that is having a concern. So it's about that awareness, being prepared. So it's that planning. But it's also having that curiosity, which is making sure that you're keeping an eye on what's happening out there. But it's also having that confidence, which just means is that you have the confidence in knowing why you're doing what you're doing and where you want to go. But to know where you want to go, you need to have that curiosity to understand where the opportunities are. And you can also have control there, because you're taking control of where you want to go with your career. So when we talk about career adaptability, it's very much about having that proactive focus, and that is what makes you employable.
So in the interview, Jennifer spoke a lot about the concept of meaningful work, which has a lot of layers to it for different people. But how do you think that people can kind of discover what meaningful work might mean to them when they're already in a job role? As I can imagine, it could be hard to branch out into a new area if, say, you're already working full time, or for some, it might not be an option to take on full time study if they aren't sure what kind of work could create more meaning for them.
Yeah, that's such a good question, Jemima. I think people know by the absence of something meaningful, when their work feels just like, oh, dragging yourself out of bed in the morning, this doesn't feel right. Why doesn't it feel right? And by reflecting, a lot of the time we come up with our creative ideas when we've got some time off. And so it's always recommended, and organizations love for people to take their leave, not to like carry over leave or just not have their holidays at all. Because when we stop, sometimes that's when we reflect and realize, what am I missing in my life that my job isn't giving me? Equally, sometimes people realize what's meaningful to them by virtue of having done some volunteering work, which provides us with a feeling of it's altruistic. When we volunteer, it kind of releases some kind of happy hormone. We're doing something, it's not for reward, as in monetary reward, it just creates a feeling of, I've done something really nice today. And so if we can tap into a volunteering activity, just think about what matters to you. And we talk about that a lot in career coaching. It's what we refer to as mattering. What is important to you? What do you care about? And sometimes it'll be, I just love my pets and I would just love to work with animals. Okay. So we go, tell me a bit more about that. And it might not be about being a veterinary surgeon. It might be about being a ranger or in conservation in the rural and regional areas. And to get into that kind of thing, you could start off by getting a volunteering role. So we look at all of that kind of thing when we're doing those mattering conversations and asking a person, what have you done in your life where you felt really good about your work?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just about unpacking in that self-reflection of knowing that maybe taking that time off with your job and going, okay, am I really enjoying this role? Am I getting out of it what I want to get out of working? Because working goes on for quite a certain amount of time, but acknowledging that change might be necessary, or change is necessary in the role rather than like career change, I guess.
Absolutely true. So sometimes we will say, well, what is it about the job? Is there something within your organization which would make you feel that you were doing a job that's more meaningful to you? So looking broadly and then asking for those review appointments. A lot of organizations embed reviews and appraisals into work employment contracts, annually or whatever it might be. And those are the times at which you might say to your employer, yeah, I'm really quite enjoying my work, but I fancy having maybe something a little bit more responsibility, or I'm interested in the other sector of the business and how maybe I might transition into a different role. So it's not necessarily about exiting your employment. It could be transitioning within your company, but conversely, it could actually be, I need to transition out.
Yeah, I think the first time that I heard about meaningful work was when we interviewed Jennifer the other day. And it's sort of a term that I've never come across. I'm not sure if Jemima's come across it either. But I get the feeling that you're kind of introduced to like the sensation of meaningful work as you hit high school and at the later years of high school and with university as well, because you're picking the subjects that you're wanting to do, which means that you need to sort of take that attitude with you across to university, or if you're a hands-on person, into the trades. So that way you don't try and get stuck into a loophole of going down a study stream where you don't want to end up. And it happens, you see it happen a lot with people at school when really it doesn't need to be that way.
That's so true. I think often students can be persuaded to do certain subjects. We talked about this in Kate's interview. I mean, she chose one subject that she needed for a course, but then the rest of them were subjects she enjoyed and was strong in. And that's what's important. You know, if you're a fabulous musician, do music. If you're a fabulous actor, or you really kind of want to have a go at it, those things can take you into meaningful professions because you get that thrill of performance. Some people achieve a buzz from performing arts. And if they're encouraged, that industry is a bit volatile. It's a very competitive field, la, 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 whatever. Then they might end up second guessing themselves and thinking, all right, I won't do music performance or I won't do theatre. But in fact, where they love to be, what matters most to them is playing out a role on stage, and they're just never happier. That's what it can be meaningful for some, For others, it could be nurturing seedlings and, you know, I don't know, looking at the chemistry of plants and making sure that they are healthy and that you are doing something green. It's different for everyone.
No, definitely. And I think sometimes, probably similar with the subjects, you can fall into the trap of going, this seems like the easy and practical option. Like thinking about big ideas in that sense of being like, this is a safe option. This will give me a steady income, which is great. Obviously, that's something that you need. But I think it's also important to not disregard your passions in that sense and what's meaningful to you.
It's great to understand that when what you alluded to, Lockie, was you're at school, it's all about subjects. Why I like work experience programs in schools, which are typically delivered in year 10, is that it gives a 16-year-old or 15 or 16-year-old the opportunity to shadow somebody for a week in their place of employment and see, like, would I like this? And okay, so a week might not be long, but if you have an idea that, oh, I know, I think it would be so fulfilling and rewarding to be a nurse, let's for argument's sake say a nurse, and then when you get into that environment and you talk to the nurses around you and you see what they do in a real sense on a day-to-day basis, they can come away thinking, yeah, that's definitely for me. Or conversely, that's not at all what I thought nursing would be like. And that's exactly the same reason as why I advocate young people get a part-time job, because I knew from all of the part-time jobs that I had that I did not particularly like working in a newspaper print press, putting in inserts and being in a newspaper print room. That was like really tedious, repetitive work. But I knew from what I did have experiences in what I enjoyed. And it can be as simple as achieving a sale. Some people just find that so rewarding. Real estate, for example, helping someone find their dream home. Going back to what you said, Lockie, in school, you can gain experience and find out what your passions are by having a few different part-time jobs. It doesn't matter what they are, because you can eliminate, by virtue of doing three or four different jobs over a period of four years from the age of 15, you can go, oh, well, that wasn't very rewarding. And that other job was.
Yeah, that's why I made the point of school. If you can figure it out early, it helps you on the way to getting to meaningful work a bit more quicker, I guess.
It can, but we do change through experiences. Life experiences can help us to realise quite what it is that's meaningful. And certainly as we age, we appreciate other things in our lives and other experiences become all the more important to us. What Jennifer was saying was so important to reference, I think, is categorizing people on the basis of age, making assumptions, oh, you're 16 and you're really, really sporty, or that must mean X, Y, Z. Or you're reaching retirement years, so that must mean that you're wanting to wind down and not do anything quite so stressful. It's so easy to make assumptions about people, and it's really problematic. And I really liked it that Jennifer made reference to that.
Well, that marks the end of this episode and the end of the first season of the Karen Your Career Coach podcast. We'd like to say a big thank you to Jennifer, as well as all our previous guests.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these episodes and learnt a valuable thing or two along the way. And don't forget, you can always head to www.karenyourcareercoach.com.au for more. Thank you for listening to the Karen Your Career Coach podcast.
Make sure you stay up to date by heading to Karen's website, karenyourcareercoach.com.au.